Hello and welcome to the Limitless Possibilities Podcast, episode number 28. My name is Zach Johnson. I'm really excited that you're here. If you're a returning listener and you haven't done so already, please head on over to Apple or Spotify, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future episodes, and definitely leave a rating and review, as that goes a long way to helping me grow the podcast and reach more people. And if you're a new person, I would greatly appreciate hearing some review in the same way on Apple, and subscribing on Apple and Spotify or wherever you're listening on a podcast platform, as that goes a long way to helping me. I really hope all of you are having a great week. You're able to find some comfort and something to release some of that stress in the current situations going on. Everywhere in our life, we can always find positives or we can always find negatives. And if you're able to find those positives, whether it be through meditation, through journaling, through reading, by spending time with family and friends in whatever capacity that is, whether it be via Zoom, in person, whatever, continue to do that, as that's such a major thing to being able to play in mental health. And I definitely want to talk about it, because being somebody who has struggled with anxiety, who has struggled with depression, Mental Health Awareness Month in October is a major month that should be talked about more. And I think something that should be more able to be discussed openly. Oftentimes we bury our feelings, oftentimes we bury the emotions, and sometimes that comes out where in weird ways. There will be little things that will happen around us, whether it be our partners or different people around us, that will kind of vault these emotions into an extreme level. And so something that all of us need to be collectively better at is being understanding that everybody is fighting their own battle. You never know what's going on below the surface. And reach out to your friends, reach out to your family members. If they kind of seem off, if they seem that they are maybe more distant, or maybe they are, you know, a little more reserved and not as outgoing, or they've kind of removed themselves, easily something as simple as, hey, just wanted to check in, wanted to see if you wanted to get together for coffee, wanted to get together and do different things. Or if you're not able to physically get together with them, reach out via phone, reach out via Zoom, via Skype, whatever you're willing to use or able to use. Reach out to those, because you never know what somebody's going through. And particularly this year, with all of the craziness, with the lockdowns, the uncertainties, different things like that, it's really important to stay on top of mental health more than ever. I really believe right now it's so important. So reach out to your friends, find that thing that is your outlet. Again, whether it be meditation, journaling, or whether it just be talking to friends, listening to podcasts, whatever it is, we all need to find it. I know I've had to. I've talked about a lot of different journeys along the way of my own, and each and every one of the guests has talked about things that they've been able to help do to overcome anxiety, depression, different things that they've battled or gone through as well. So definitely go back through and listen to some of the older episodes if you haven't already, to be able to find some great insights. I'm really excited for today's interview. He is the owner of Oh My Apparel, so Out Hustle My Yesterday Apparel. He's also a sponsor of the podcast. So I'm really excited for you guys to understand why I'm so proud to connect that brand to the podcast, because it's something that I really believe in and have a deeper connection with. It's not somebody that I just messaged and said, hey man, I'd love to have you on the podcast being a sponsor because I want to make money off of you. No, it's somebody that I'm connected to and somebody that I really believe in. And you'll hear his voice, you'll hear his passion, you'll hear everything during the interview. So we'll definitely send that over. If you want to check out the sponsorship program that I have set up with him, head on over to TeamOhMy. It's TeamOhMy.com, and use the code LIMITLESS to save 15% off. And we'll send it over on to Duncan so you can learn more about the great products and how the company was formed. All right, the next guest that we're really excited to have on to the Limitless Possibilities podcast grew up in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. He's a University of Lethbridge graduate. He's a former college baseball player, and he's the owner of Out Hustle My Yesterday Apparel. Welcome to the show, Duncan Sorso.
Thanks for having me, Zach.
It's my pleasure, man. It's always nice to catch up and see how things are going. And
yeah, absolutely. Former teammate. And
Long ways from there.
10 plus years, I think, man.
Yeah, 12 actually, since we met. Yeah. Doesn't feel like it.
Father Time's undefeated.
Absolutely. During the quarantine, obviously, it's kind of flipped everybody's world upside down. Have you had any substantial changes to your current life? Obviously, personally you've had some things go on, but business-wise, have you had anything kind of come up as well?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I've got a new son at home, so certainly excited about the extra time I get to spend with him. Mm-hmm. But a lot of what I do with Omai is custom orders for teams. So we work with a team. We work in an Omai design with one of their logos or their saying for that year kind of thing. And so obviously in March that kind of came to a grinding halt. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I kind of took it in stride. I scaled back on that stuff, and that's not really an inventory nightmare because it's always pre-sold stuff. So then you just kind of focus on your online sales, connecting with people on Instagram and other platforms kind of that way. And just kind of seeing what the community wants to see next and kind of taking some of that extra time to build some of those things in the back end. So I've got some projects in the works that I'll keep under wraps right now, but certainly excited to kind of drop soon and that I've been able to work on. So instead of being like, oh man, I'm not selling more team stuff, it's what can we kind of do to build to the future? So.
Right. Have you kind of leaned on any books or any breathing, meditation, journaling, anything in that way to kind of help keep yourself grounded and maybe not let the anxiety of the current state of the world get a hold of you?
Essentially? Yeah. A lot of walks. Like I would say it was tough when it was still winter here in Canada and they closed the malls and you couldn't really go anywhere. And so that was a little bit tough, but kind of that feeling when spring comes and there's that kind of rebirth feeling. And I wouldn't take my phone. I just pack my son up, stroller, walk, here we go. That was really big. And then I've got a playlist on my phone. It's called Create. And I would just throw that on. I'm a hip hop guy, so it's got a lot of J. Cole and some other kind of underground artists, and just throw that on and do some stuff in my sketchbook, just for me, mm-hmm. not always about the brand, and drawing. I try to journal. I'll go like a week where I write a bunch of stuff down and it's like, and then I go 2 months where I don't look at it or something. Right. So,
it's tough for
sure. If you have any tips on how to keep that going, like, I don't know. I've tried.
Consistency, man. The other thing too, I've really looked into is the bullet point journaling. So rather than trying to maybe, you know, word vomit all of our words onto the book, just, you know, sentence, bullet journaling, that's worked for me a little bit, but again, it's tough. That's one of those, I think, universal grinds for everybody.
Like, could I get one bullet a day?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
start with that. Yeah. See where it goes.
Absolutely. So obviously, you've had that creative mindset since you were a young kid. Did you kind of always know that you wanted to have a creative outlet and be involved in maybe the more artistic side of things? Or were you kind of leaned maybe away from that, maybe towards more conventional thinking, towards like business or towards, you know, different typical traditional fields, I guess, so to say? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little bit. So, like my dad's a graphic designer by, trade, I guess. Mm-hmm. But he'd always worked for companies and that kind of thing. And my mom's a teacher. And so there wasn't a lot of, entrepreneurs kind of right in my immediate circle. So the kind of path that was laid out to me was go to school, get good grades, get a good job. Then you're save 10% or whatever of your salary, enjoy your life. You'll be fine. It's kind of safe. Mm-hmm. And I tried my best to do that. And it just always kind of seemed like I'd be sitting at work and downtime and you'd start scribbling something on a notepad or in your sketchbook or even on the bus when I played in college. Like I don't know what other guys were doing as far as, I don't think we were doing homework. I wouldn't say that, but I right. would just bring my sketchbook and I was in there sketching and kind of planning stuff, but also just seeing kind of where my creativity led me. In high school, I went to a high school that had a good sports program and a good arts program. And I didn't think I was that great at either. And so I was always trying to work really hard on the athletic side and work really hard on the art side. And like, I went to school with some crazy good artists now that I'm like, oh yeah, that guy's an artist and he's a painter. That makes sense. Like,
right.
But you're telling me that like I design shirts or I put art on shirts and people buy it. It's kind of a pinch me moment sometimes for sure.
Mm-hmm. And so obviously you're talking about the entrepreneurial spirit and kind of having people around. Have you taken some of the lessons that you learned in playing baseball in college and applied that to kind of taking more risks? Or if you do take risks, kind of how to rebound from maybe those failures or structures along the way that you run into?
Yeah. I mean, I think in business, you want to hit a little bit better than 3 out of 10.
of course.
On your ideas. Yes. But certainly college baseball and just kind of baseball in general, right? That teaches you it's a game of failure and there's a lot of, I thought I did everything right and it didn't quite work out, right? Mm-hmm. And I think you have to be prepared for that in business too. Like you can do it by the book, or you can do it and it's perfect on a lot of levels and people would look at it and say, yeah, that's great. And your timing's a little off, or you just can't get it to the right market. And then people see it after and they're like, oh man, that would have been really cool. Like, where was this? I didn't know about this or whatever. Right. And so There's certainly a lot of factors that are out of your control. And it's like, you kind of handle your business and then whatever happens, happens, right? It's kind of like a hard hit ball that turns into an out, right? You've done everything you could. The guy was just standing there. And so I think, yeah, you don't want to have too many of those in a row, right?
Of course,
I mean, I don't want to go over 50 on my on my designs with people buying them, right? But the way you can kind of get in a slump in baseball, but it's certainly just that idea that, hey, there's another at bat or there's another opportunity, and what can you do moving forward? Mm-hmm. Learn from the mistake or the error or whatever you want to call it, kind of thing, and then move forward. But certainly, baseball has helped me with that. That's a huge part of why I'm successful, I guess. Right. And I would say to you, like, it's Omize Young. I'm still building it. And mm-hmm. even just to say successful is kind of like, I don't know, like knock on wood, like we're superstitious baseball players. Like, I don't want to jinx it kind of thing. Right. But, certainly baseball has been a big, reason that I've been successful to this point in the business.
Do you think that obviously baseball being a little bit smaller in Canada, in particular in Manitoba, kind of the mindset that you had developed playing there and wanting to get out of there allowed you to maybe push a little bit farther through some of those failures? And what kind of led you from, I guess, playing there to ultimately playing at PBA in Lethbridge?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was talking to a dad the other day about this, of a kid I coach, and just, we didn't know anything. Like, my parents and I didn't know anything, until I was kind of 17 and we were at a tournament down in the States and some guy said, like, where are you going to college to mm-hmm. play baseball? What are you talking about? Like, that's a thing. Like, there's like 5 guys from Manitoba that have made it. And like Manitoba baseball, isn't known for producing a ton of people. Right. Mm-hmm. And so kind of working a little bit harder and trying to get some of those breaks, that's helped me along the way. Mm-hmm. I'm not the most famous Manitoba baseball player to ever come out of there and that kind of thing. Right. But just making it and, being able to go back and talk to kids now and say, like, hey, there's a lot of opportunities out there, right? There's a lot of schools, and it's just about kind of finding those connections and like not being afraid of Division 1, Division 2, Division 3, finding a school with a program now with like the internet and the scouting reports and stuff that they have, right? And just being able to send your tapes out like way easier, right? Mm-hmm. Certainly a lot different than 12, 15 years ago or whatever, right? When
absolutely,
like I was watching my hitting breakdowns on like a VHS tape, and the guy is like pausing it and being like, see how that looks? And you're like, well, it's kind of fuzzy. Like, mm-hmm. I think I know what you're talking about, right? And so, but yeah, I mean, I like that I'm from Manitoba in a smaller place, and you kind of had to work for it. And just, I take that kind of mindset into what I do now. And, mm-hmm. I was listening to something the other day where a guy was like, I make up a thing in my head where like, it's me against these guys
to kind of motivate. Jordan talked about that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like it really is kind of that too. Like I've got whatever, some brands or people on my hit list on the board where I'm like, yeah, like let's get better than these guys. And they don't even know I exist. Like it doesn't matter, but certainly drives you and motivates you. And just to kind of get on their level or to prove some people wrong that you are able to build something and something that lasts kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that I really appreciated about PBA now doing some reflection back on it is it truly is just a melting pot of guys from all over Canada, right? You have people from the farthest west you can go and the farthest east you can go, kind of all coming together. And you have such a blend of cultures because there is so many in Canada that we really don't realize.
Yeah.
And it's just a melting pot of personalities and culture that kind of comes together. It's pretty amazing. Do you think that by being involved in that melting pot and the different mentalities and mindsets and things helped you kind of get to another level of creativity that you maybe wouldn't have had if you would have stayed in Manitoba?
For sure. 100%. Yeah. Like I stumbled upon PBA. I had never heard of it before. I'd never been to Lethbridge. And I had a summer coach. I'd played a year in the States and the coach that recruited me had retired and the assistant coach didn't really like the style of play that I had. So I went in at the end of that, my freshman year. And I shook the assistant coach's hand, said, "Hey, good luck with being the head coach. I won't be back. I know we don't jive, like best of luck." Went home, had a summer coach that had coached against Coach Hub in the Wimble and said, like, "Hey, have you heard of PBA?" "Nope, never. What is it?" Went out for a recruiting visit, talked to Coach Coob and Hub and went like, "Wow, this field, the clubhouse is right there." And I was like, "This is incredible. Like, this is where I want to go." And yeah, like day one, you're like, "Where's that guy from? Where's that guy from?" And like, "This guy talks funny. Oh, he's from the Maritimes." Like,
oh yeah,
all that stuff. Right. And they have it every year, but then there's that, like Hub always has the talk where he's like, "Okay, who took the bus here?" And somebody will put up their hand and they're like, "I took the bus because I didn't know anybody." And he rips on everybody. He's like, "We're a family. Nobody's taking the bus here. Somebody give them a ride, figure out your schedules." Right. And it's like from day one, we're a family. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter how you talk, what you look like. Right. It really is. It's about the A and representing that kind of on and off the field, wherever you go. And I think absolutely I loved my time at PBA and just, like, yeah, the playing and working your butt off and that kind of stuff was a lot of fun. But like some of those parties, man, when you get everybody together and you start hearing other guys' stories or just seeing people let loose a little bit, like you can't help but learn and kind of soak up some stuff from some of those other people. Right. And so I still keep in touch with buddies that move back out east and west and different things. And like, or to Germany, like it's crazy, right? Like it's a really neat, a neat community that they foster there. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I think some of the attitudes, you know, maybe you don't appreciate it at the time when you're going through it, cause you're the naive superhero kid that knows everything and, coming out of there, some of the lessons, just different in life for sure.
I still hear Coach Coop being, there's two that I hear and he's like, "You don't pay for the electricity, turn off the lights when you leave a room." Right.
Yes.
And like, I'll be leaving a room and I'm like, "Go back, turn off the light. Yeah, coach, I got you." Or the one about baseballs where he's like, "If these were $5 bills, you wouldn't leave them on the ground because the balls were whatever, $5 a piece." And I'm like, "Well, of course we'd pick them up if they're $5 bills. Like they're baseballs. We see them all the time." But like just some of those things, right? Like they just really stick with you and countless other ones. Right. But just those kind of lessons that they mold into you and like it can't help but make you a better person going there and going through that process of break you down, build you back up, teach you a little bit more about the game and life and just about going to battle with each other. Yeah.
Do you think that some of the lessons that they taught about detail have helped you translate into the entrepreneurial spirit and growth of Oh My? And I'm asking because you talk about a quote, and a quote that always sticks out to me is, you know, "Worry about the grass. We can grow tons of dirt everywhere." That was the one that always, you know, we got an unlimited amount of dirt. We worry about growing the grass and just going around and making sure you know, at the time you're, you know, frustrated, you just conditioned your bag off and you're going around and picking up the little specks of grass, but you appreciate like you're taking care of something. And, do you think that that particular attention to detail has been translated over to now if for you in the business world?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially with this one, like with Oh My, when I was planning it and setting this thing up, it was like, you're not starting. Sure, you have a name and you have a logo, but like, we're not starting till we find a shirt that washes well, that an athlete can, who sucks at doing laundry, can put in the dryer if they screw it up and it doesn't shrink too much. Like, excuse me. And it holds up well. What's the packaging going to look like? What's the card that everybody gets inside going to look like all those things. Like, it was really build that kind of foundation so that when stuff does hit the fan or a few things go wrong, which inevitably it will in business, it's like you have that to kind of fall back on, right? Like, okay, so you ship stuff out to people, they get a note, they get this, they get a band, they get shirts, all these things. Okay, well, if on the chance that an order goes wrong, they go, yeah, but I remember how you made me feel with all these other notes. Hey, Duncan, there's a hole in the shirt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, we got you. We'll send you another one kind of thing. Don't worry about it. Right. And just some of those things that, yeah, like you said, picking all those weeds out of the warning track, right? Like that, you pick one weed, it doesn't really make a difference, right? But you, a bunch of guys do it for 10 minutes or whatever, and all of a sudden it looks a whole lot better, right? And just, I kind of take that same approach of like, you pay attention to all these little details, and then the end result that the customer gets is pretty kind of special and big. And what they see is the green grass, but what kind of what you've been doing is picking the weeds off the warning track, right? If we go back to your analogy. So
yeah, absolutely. So obviously from there you have the opportunity, you win a championship, and then you translate that success to receiving a scholarship, and you go to Louisiana and you go to LSUS Shreveport. When you were first down there, being a kid from Manitoba, how much of a culture shock was it initially to go down there?
Yeah. The South, man, it's wild. Mm-hmm. And certainly, there's some things that the South is still working through, that a guy that looks like me fit in just fine. But, coming from where I did in Winnipeg and such a multicultural neighborhood and stuff, and kind of just to be look around and go like, we all look the same. Where's everybody else kind of thing. And just, that was the biggest shock for me, because I was a guy who played with people who looked all kinds of ways, right? White, black, Asian, didn't matter, like on all kinds of teams. Right. And so, certainly when you get down there and your team's just basically white, you kind of go like, man, what's going on down here? Like, and why do we think this way or whatever? Right. And, yeah, and not everybody, but it was certainly, a different feel that you got from some people about just how things work in the South. And as a kid, like you said, as a kid from Manitoba, like that's 24 hours away, straight south is Louisiana. Like, so it was certainly a different atmosphere for me. But then a lot of similarities too, right? Like Southern hospitality is a real thing, right? Like you're not from here. You're now on our team. We get welcomed in, come here for Thanksgiving, try this. Have you tried Boudin or whatever? It's this like white sausage instead of regular looking sausage. And like, they want to share their culture and kind of expose you to that. So like, there's a lot of good memories with that, but then certainly who I am and who kind of my parents were and who they raised me as far as like speaking up about kind of injustices or racism and things. And you went like, man, yeah, we got some work to do down here, boys. Like what's the next step that we can kind of take? Like, let's move this thing forward. But, definitely an eye opener. But certainly a good experience too. And all in all, I would say.
While you were there, was that kind of when you really delved more into the creative side that eventually ended up helping you launch your first company and grown from an idea?
Yeah. Yep. So like I went down there, I got recruited. They came to see Bodes, like Curtis Bowden. LSUS was coming, they were recruiting him and Zach Rhodes. Mm-hmm. and they came to watch us on a trip somewhere in the States or whatever. And I had, I don't know, I got hit by like three pitches, stole some bases, made a couple of plays in the field. And the assistant coach was like, well, he's a dirtbag. Like, we'll take him too. Kind of, I was the throw-in guy, like the extra with who came down with boats kind of thing.
Right.
And so when I got there, like I knew I was lower on the depth chart and had something to prove. And so you're working. And then my knees just kind of gave out. Like it was tendonitis and this and that. And like, it was just pain all the time. And so, kind of towards the end of the fall, it was like, I knew I was going to be done. I had gone in and talked to Coach Rocky and said like eligibility wise, they weren't sure if I had 1 or 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I only have one, like I'm supposed to be the fast guy and I'm not fast because my knees suck right now kind of thing. And so having that talk was tough, but it was also really freeing and staying true to yourself. And then, kind of went back to what I knew to kind of help me through some tough things. And that was get in your sketchbook. Mm-hmm. And so I went in my sketchbook and I started just putting down ideas, and it was going to be Dynasty Athletics, and it was going to be like just for athletes. And then I started listening to too many people, and they were like, I don't know, can you make something just for athletes? What is that? That sounds like this brand. I don't know if it should be called that, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of led me to GFI or Grown From Idea. And that was me trying to recreate LRG. And I grew up, I never smoked weed in my life, but I grew up a kid that was like, man, LRG, like this skate brand, this is cool. And then I figured out all the red eyes on the animals were because they were high, and it was like lifted research group. It was about weed. And I was like, oh, missed that one, but the art was cool.
Yeah.
So I just really, I tried to build that brand, and GFI was like I alluded to earlier, like it was one of those things where I don't know if all of it would have lasted, but like mm-hmm. I had a shirt that said enjoy the journey mm-hmm. and it didn't sell. And 5 years later, every second notebook in Chapters says enjoy the journey on it. So I'm going like, well, was I ahead of the time? Maybe didn't. I don't think it was $1 million idea that I missed on, but I also think like sometimes your good ideas just are at the wrong time. Right. And it wasn't a buzzword yet. And it wasn't the kind of the thing of the day that people were really promoting just yet. Mm-hmm. And so that brand was a really good learning experience. It was kind of like my university co-op that I just did on my own and self-funded. Mm-hmm. And then it got to the point where you were trying to make a shirt for a musician and a shirt for this guy and a shirt for a guy who likes to skate but isn't an athlete and a shirt for a guy who is an athlete. And it was just, it didn't have a kind of a narrow enough focus. Mm-hmm. And you were trying to please everybody. And that was the biggest takeaway that I learned from that was when you go do this the next time, because there will be a next time. Like when I was shutting it down, I was like, oh, okay, but I know I want to try this again. Mm-hmm. It was like, you're doing it on your terms and it's going to be for athletes. And so it did kind of loop back to the first initial Dynasty Athletic idea mm-hmm. that I had written down in the sketchbook. It was just like, well, I need a better name mm-hmm. and some deeper meaning. And I worked kind of those ideas into it and that kind of thing, right, with OMI and having it stand for Out Hustle My Yesterday. But yeah, that first one was born in Louisiana when I knew that my baseball, my playing days were going to be done. So, yeah.
Do you feel that the biggest, obviously you said that the biggest growth as far as branding and as far as your brand awareness happened during that time, but do you think your biggest growth as a person happened during that time in understanding that even sometimes those closest to us want the best for us, but sometimes they don't know what we need to get to where we're going to be happy?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you did have to fall. Like you had to take all that advice from everybody who was like, whoa, cool. This is exciting. Like you're doing something different, blah, blah. How about this? You should do this. You should do this. You should do this. Right. And then you go, oh, but you're not there every day. right? And your idea could be good, right? And you do have to have a filter, and you do want to take in those ideas, because like the one lemonade shirt, fresh thoughts taste better or whatever, that had it on there. It's like, you want to have that kind of energy that new ideas bring in, but you also, you have to kind of put it through your filter and then go, but what is my main goal, right? Mm-hmm. And what is the purpose of this brand, or what is the purpose of this idea, kind of thing? And so, yeah, that was a big, definitely a big learning curve, and a quick one. Like, you learned it pretty quick. It was like, well, none of these shirts kind of look like they belong to the same brand. So how did that happen? Well, you listen to somebody here, you listen to somebody here, and you kind of have this hodgepodge of ideas. And then on a personal growth side, it's certainly, it really kind of made you pay attention just to the language that you use, in talking to people. And I mean, you still do it sometimes, but I just got tired of hearing you should do this shirt. You should do this. You should do phone cases. You should do socks. You should do. And I was like, well, yeah. Are you going to fund this with me? Like, mm-hmm. we don't have unlimited resources here, people.
Right.
And so just the idea of, have you thought of shirts? Have you thought of socks? Have you approached this person? What do you think about this? Right. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of, even in my personal life, it was like, okay, let's just take a step back. And when somebody's doing something new, and you have an idea and you want to share it and ask them things, it's like, well, frame it back towards them, because chances are they have thought about a lot of this stuff because they're living it 24/7. If it's an entrepreneurial thing, or even just their job or their new family or whatever it is. Right. And it's like, we want to share our opinions, but there's kind of a little bit of a softer approach to in how you do that. Right.
Right. Was there any books or any literature that you kind of leaned on to maybe find that spark to kind of get going again? Because obviously you said that you had the idea, you know, that you wanted to get it going again, but sometimes it's really easy to get knocked down. And as you said, trying to find it, we get complacent because we find another job. Hey, we're making money. Things are going well. I don't want to step outside that comfort zone because I don't want to get knocked down again. Was there a book or just anything that really sparked you to be like, you know what, I'm going to jump out of the plane, build a parachute on the way down, essentially?
Yeah. Back in like at that time too, like I think I just read Jay-Z's book Decoded. Mm-hmm. And as a hip hop guy, and then seeing a guy who sold drugs, got out of there, changed it, turned into a businessman, built a record label and his own brand and all these other, like, you just seeing that and you went, yeah, I'm not trying to be Jay-Z, but man, this guy, the struggles that he went through and the kind of the cards stacked against him. And he just went, no, I'm going to be a rapper, and here's how I do it. And music was always a passion. Like, you learn in his book, like, how his mom bought him the boom box or whatever to keep him off the street when he was younger and those kind of things. And, so just kind of, that book was big for me. It's just, I really like reading biographies on people like that, like in sports figures and whoever, just kind of successful people that have found their path, and and just realizing, like, it seems cliche, but it's like, we only get one shot at this, right? So it's like, you might as well go try what makes you happy and kind of what you want to do. And because the alternative is, well, if this fails, and my kind of mindset was like, if this fails in 3 to 5 years, I can go work a job for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I've proven that I'm employable. I've had other jobs. Like, people want to hire you. You can learn quickly, like all those things. Like, well, let's go bet on ourselves for a minute here and kind of see what we can do with it and see if we can make it work. Right. And just the, just having that, I don't even know if it's like being brave or courageous, but it's like, just try it. Like, it's, it's okay. Right. And so, so you start thinking that, right. And then as you've kind of, once you put it out there into the universe, they're like, hey, this is what I'm going to do. There's just people that, it's not necessarily your best friend, but like, I had somebody who I'd hired her to work for me when I worked for the Bulls and stuff. And, was doing baseball marketing. And so like a year in, she's going like, hey, that's great about Omai. And she sends me the Winston Churchill quote. That's about, it's not about the guy standing outside the ring or whatever, right? It's the gladiator in the ring and having the courage to do it. And even if he fails or whatever, right. And it's like, okay, so she sends that. And then you save that to put in your notes on it for a day when you're like, man, this company's going down, we're failing. Like, it's like you read those things. Right. And then Tribe of Mentors was another big, that book's just, it's an easy, you pick it up, you just read a bit about somebody every now and then. And it's four or five questions or whatever that, can't remember the author now, but some famous guy that's loaded. But anyways, he's like, he asked these people 5 or 10 questions. They picked 5 or 10 to answer. And it's just a quick kind of like, yeah, okay, what happened? What worked for them? What worked for them? And this is the dude that started Netflix. And this is the lady that does whatever. She sells whatever, 10 million units on the shopping channel. And you go like, okay, like these people all started from a very similar place. And that kind of overnight, success thing is really a bunch of bullshit because it takes 7 to 10 years or whatever till you're the overnight success. Right. And it's like,
absolutely.
That's when people jump on so that kind of just, it gave me the freedom to try it. Right. And you don't have to be, I didn't have to make $1 million in a year. If that was whatever, when we were growing up, right. It was like, well, if you made $1 million, man, you're rich.
Of course.
So you're like, you didn't have to hit those numbers in your first year. It was like, no, just keep going and see where that takes you. Right. And so that, I think that was really kind of a freeing moment for me along the way.
Do you think by also maybe not vilifying other companies or putting them onto a pedestal, but by just being like, you know what, I'm going to worry about myself because there's enough piece of the pie for everybody. It helped you be more successful the first time or second time around, my apologies. Whereas the first time, maybe you had a little bit more like, I'm going to go and try to take some of the market away from the other. Did it really change your mindset of being like, I'm just going to blaze my own path instead of trying to take from this other path?
Yeah. Well, and a funny thing kind of happened. The second time around when I was building it, I was like, okay, I'm going to try to get information from these companies instead of, like you said, instead of being like, we're coming for you or whatever. It was like, I reached out to a ton of like Canadian and American companies that I saw that I was like, hey, you guys are doing cool things. Like, how do you do this? What's this? What's this? And like, none of them answered. Or they would answer and be like, yo, bro, like get your own supplier, like do this. We're not telling you anything. I was like, okay, I'll just do my own thing, I guess, because nobody wants to help you. Right. And I kind of put that in my back pocket and not saying that I'm a veteran now, but I have certainly had younger brands in their infancy reach out and I went, well, I don't want to do what all these brands did to me. Right. And it was like, yeah, let's work together here. Check this out for suppliers. If you need a new printer, here's a guy that I use. This is a good idea. This, I've been successful with this. Like, make sure your art's always vector before you send it to your printer so they don't charge you to change it or whatever. Right. And I really took the kind of the mindset of collaborate and work kind of collectively. And how can we like just celebrate everybody's victories, right? Because that kind of awareness and like routine baseball. It's like, if they put a post up that has Mike Soroka in it, cause he threw a really good changeup and they have a changeup shirt. It's like, well, Soroka is our guy. So like, let's celebrate routine baseball instead of being like, oh man, they're coming in on our territory. It's like,
right.
People wear more than one t-shirt.
Yeah.
So like, let's kind of work together. And my thing, honestly, like I've almost made more of a crusade on like the shitty boxy 100% cotton shrink shirt. Like, it's more like, stop buying that. Because if you just want to buy, if you just buy quality stuff and deal with these, whatever, 50 quality brands in Canada that are all doing, say, a similar thing to what we're doing, it's like, we all are going to do better.
Right.
So just quit going and trying to get the cheapest shirt that you can ever get and just give your kids or your players or whatever a quality shirt that they want to wear. And that's been more like the, like the crusade that I've been spending, like, enough with that. Like, sure, if you're in whatever, Saskatoon, go deal with, or Regina, go deal with 22 Fresh if you don't want to deal with us. So it's like, yeah, we get a piece of that. We know some guys out there and we do some shirts with them, but it's like, they've been around for 10 years. So you're going to deal with, you're naturally going to want to talk to them first, right? But it's like, we're also here, but they use quality goods, so use them too. But don't use Jim's t-shirts to get some $5 t-shirt and then ask me why ours are 30 or whatever, right?
Right.
So I really think it's kind of in my own little soapbox or whatever, right? Like, you've just been like, hey, let's, if the quality of it is goes up around kind of around the athletic side, right? Because that was where I saw a need in the market with Oh My.
Yeah.
Because I was tired of like, hey, everybody gets a large shirt. Well, why? Because we got a deal on them. And like, the kid that's an XL looks, he doesn't like it. And the kid that's a medium, he doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. And these don't fit. So it was like, what can we do to provide teams with a better quality of a wearable that promotes their team and their mindset kind of thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think something you touched on there too is just giving back. And that's such a huge thing, right? And you've obviously given back in the way of helping other t-shirt brands or garment brands or apparel brands kind of getting going. You also give back in coaching. In doing the coaching, have you learned a lot more about yourself than you did even starting the business?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a good, it's a really good balance for me, right? It's like, you spend a lot of time, say on your computer or in your sketchbook and really kind of that narrow focus. And then you go and coach and you've got 12 kids, right? And you're looking at it from a much broader perspective. And yeah, you work individually with certain kids or whatever, right? And you're helping them that way. But it's like, yeah, you're the head coach. So how do we help these 12 guys get better and become a team and those kind of things? And just, you kind of stand out on a baseball field, and even as a coach, sunny day, and you go, huh, okay, that email that had me fed up, I can take a breath. This thing that was struggle or whatever, right? Like, you hit a few fungos or you whatever, and you just kind of feel a little bit, gives you a little bit of a renewed perspective on kind of the business side of things too. So, the kids just love that they get wristbands from me, but I probably owe them more because of, just kind of how they help to balance me out from the business side for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, being an entrepreneurial spirit, you went through a lot of different ideas, a lot of different names to get. How did you ultimately land on Oh My? And what is next transforming forward for Team Oh My?
Yeah. So, well, Oh My came, I had an art project in high school that we did where we were given a word. Like, you drew a word out of a hat and it was just a random word. And then you had 30 seconds or 3 minutes or something like that to write down whatever came next. And it just took you wherever you went. It was free. And then the last word that you came to was going to be the title of your art project. But then it had to be based off the first word. And so there was very much this, like, how do you connect these two kind of words? And so I did a similar thing when I was trying to figure out Oh My, and I was like, okay, so what is it? It's like athletic apparel. And at that time I hadn't figured out the post game apparel tag. So I was like off field, off ice, off court. And I didn't quite know how to combine those. And so then I just started working off of, I think it might've said off field apparel. And so I just started working down off that. And it was like, made for athletes, do this. And then, like, maybe it was like, I'd have to go find it in my sketchbook, but it was like, make a play, da 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 da. And then it was like, Oh My. And I was like, okay, well, what did the announcers, like, that came from, what did the announcers say, right? Guys make a crazy big play and they're yelling, Oh My. And it's, Oh My, what a play kind of thing. I was like, ooh, okay, that has a ring to it. It's four athletes. There's your connection. Then going back to the GFI thing, the whole idea of GFI was t-shirts with a deeper meaning. I didn't want to just throw a name on a shirt and say like, hey, buy this just because.
Right.
So I was like, okay, Oh My sounds great. And that's your quick one and that's going to work. But what does it mean? And what does it mean to be an athlete? And between me and my good buddy, Corey, back home, I was like, okay, out hustle. I'm like, I've got that. And then he texted me one day and he was like, what about my yesterday? He's like, sleep on it. Think about it. Let me know what you, and I texted him right back and I was like, no, that's it. Like, that is it. Out hustle master. It's like, what do you do as an athlete? You're trying to get a little bit better than the day before or a little bit better than last week. You're always working to improve your game. And as soon as I had that, I was like, okay, that's it. And, when people hear it and they go like, oh my, okay, that's cool, whatever, blah, blah. And then they're like, oh, it stands for that. Ooh, I like that. Ooh, I like that. And so it's kind of that hook, right? Like, at first you might look at it and just go, yeah, it's a cool brand, whatever. But then once you go, oh, it's for athletes, and you go, oh, hustle master, and you go, oh yeah, that's the, like, that is what we're trying to do.
Right.
And so before I get into what's next for, like, when I've had a couple little victories where you like know that you're like, yeah, that's for sure. Like, this name is rock solid. And like the one, last year, and I reposted it recently, but like, so I had a guy from the, I'm not even going to say him because then he ghosted me afterwards, but I had a guy from the Tigers bullpen, who was a pitcher, reached out, and he's like, man, we love these shirts, blah, blah. I love the win shirt. Like, I want to get some for my guys. And I was like, mm-hmm. Well, man, why don't we just make them for you and do a Tigers version? And he's like, yeah, awesome. So I was like, okay, send me the sizes of all your players. So, I mean, I'm sure he talked to the trainer or something, but like then I'm getting a message on Twitter that's like Miguel Cabrera, XL, mm-hmm. Daniel Norris, large, yeah. Victor Martinez, whatever. And I'm like, this is crazy. Nick Castellanos, XL, right? So I was like, hey, so I like got to my printer. I was like, man, we got to get these quick, like turn these around faster than anything else. Like, let's go. Mm-hmm. So I did that, did custom shirts for Detroit, sent them shirts, got a couple pictures back, didn't get as many pictures as I wanted. And I was like, you're kind of bummed afterwards. And you're like, man, like, you tried, right? It's one of those, you had to take your swing, right? Like, that's a 3-0 fastball that the guy grew, right? And you're like, all right, here we go. And so then down the road, like one day I get a message from the marketing person from the Tigers. And she's like, hey, like, obviously I can't just be taking pictures in the locker room, but like, you should know, like, Daniel Norris is still wearing your shirt. And I was like, cool. That's neat. And then, I don't know how I remembered it, but I had learned in like, you can set up like keywords that you want to get a message from if anybody like uses them, right? Like on Google or whatever. Right. Yeah. So I had out hustle my yesterday set, never got anything. And then one day I get an email and it pops up and it's like The Athletic, Chicago article, blah, blah, out hustle my yesterday. I was like, huh? So I click on it and it's like, hey, Nick Castellanos in his locker has a Buddha, and on the sash, it says out hustle my yesterday. And I'm like, well, where did that guy get those words? Well, he got the shirt, he got a card, he got the personal thing. Like, we sent them all stuff. Right. And so you're like, yeah, I might not have a picture of him wearing the win shirt, but you're like, I know that I have something that resonates with athletes at the like kind of pinnacle of our career that we're trying to make. And then to little kids too, that are like, yeah, I want to play Bantam next year, right? Like, I want to move up kind of thing, right? So just little things like that you get along the way that just really help to energize things kind of thing, right? And then to get like, what's next? I mean, we obviously, you try to grow OMI on the website and the line itself, because creating those shirts for athletes, like that's, ideally, like that's what I want to do. And that's the main focus. So that's 90% of the focus. Then you get, and in that is your team orders and stuff. And then, there's kind of another side that has kind of come up lately where, parents who are business people in lots of different, industries have said like, well, this works for our industry and we like what you stand for. And our kids like your gear and its quality. So can you make us, our feedlot needs shirts. Our, this company needs shirts. This dealership needs shirts or whatever, right? And so I'm exploring what the made by Team Oh My little tag looks like, right? And how can you, again, deliver quality wearables that are a better quality than what they're used to, with a little bit of the message, but also not being kind of a little bit separate, right? From Oh My, because it's like, I've built this thing and I'm super protective and fiercely loyal to like, no, Omai is for athletes. Like, if I don't like your brand, like, we're not collaborating. Like, I'm okay with saying no. But certainly on the corporate side, like, yeah, hustle's a huge buzzword right now. People want to jump on with it. And it's like, as a businessman, like, you don't want to turn all that away. So it's kind of exploring what does the corporate wearable kind of side look like as well. But, and that's where I think you add a few people to your team and you go, hey, we can facilitate this together. This is one thing, but like, the Oh My brand, like we just turned 3 in March and it's like, it's rolling and the momentum's there. And it's like, that's where I'm running for sure. So, yeah.
So if somebody in that essence wants to reach out to you and they have any questions or they want to get custom team orders, or they want to just have a custom shirt or just want to be able to get bands, where is the best place to contact yourself at?
Well, if you're 25 and older and you have a email address, duncan@teamomai.com is a real easy place to find me. If you're younger and you're on Instagram and you just slide into the DMs and say, where are my free bands? Like most of the kids, then just omai_apparel on Instagram is the easiest place to find me. Yeah.
Awesome. We'll leave you with this. What is the biggest myth about t-shirt branding and quality that you've learned through this whole process?
Oh, that's a good one. I like it. The biggest myth is that, at least that I think, is that a quality t-shirt has to cost a ton of money. For me, for the client, for everybody, like it can be an affordable venture for everybody. And I'm able to make some money. Everybody else is able to get their t-shirt and that kind of thing. And I'm not getting rich, but I'm also not gouging people. And so you don't have to settle for that shitty, boxy, 100% cotton, starchy shirt. Like, you don't have to settle for it. That's the biggest myth, is that you can work with people like me or whoever kind of thing, and just kind of demand a little bit more as far as quality goes. That's it right there.
Perfect. I appreciate the openness and the honesty, man. It's always nice to catch up, and I'm excited for everybody to hear this. And we'll definitely have you back on down the road and when you talk about some of the other endeavors that you're able to dive into.
Appreciate it, buddy. You'll be on my podcast if I ever get around to it.
Perfect. That sounds good. I appreciate it. We'll catch up soon.
Hey guys, I hope you love that interview, and it really shows some perspective into why I was so proud to bring on Outhustle My Yesterday as a sponsor of the podcast and be able to really give you some great products. I know I've talked about it a lot. I wear the shirts all the time, whether it be casually around the town or going to the gym or just lounging around the house. They're super comfortable. They don't wear out. As he talked about, he found a quality product that isn't going to shrink. And he is really personable, as you could hear in the interview. So reach out to him. Any questions, he'll definitely be all over that. As I touched on pre-interview as well, mental health is such a huge thing. And if you're looking for something, for an outlet to find a book that is really insightful, but maybe you don't want to dive too deep in, something that's got a little bit of a narrative, a little bit of a story, but as well as got some good meanings and some good messaging, I definitely suggest checking out the 5AM Club. If you're a returning listener, you'll know that I've talked about this book previously, but I think right now it's such a great book. I love it because I've been able to read it and it really helps me retract away from everything that's going on, but also at the same time, have a great narrative, great story. So definitely check that one out. That will be linked in the show notes as well. If you're trying to find something else that's a release, check out meditation, something that you don't have to go crazy deep into. You can go on YouTube, you can go on to Spotify, you can go on to podcasts, you can find meditation guided anywhere. It's a great thing to kind of find for yourself. And the other, if you have the ability to go out and spend some time in nature, go for a walk outside and just breathe in the fresh air. Oftentimes with lockdown, with different situations, we find ourselves inside a lot more and we're around a lot of technology and static air and things like that, try to get outside and get yourself more rooted back into nature. And that will go a long way to really balancing your body, to balancing your emotions, your hormones, all those different things, which is such a vital thing right now to be able to stay on top of. Journaling is also a huge thing. Some of the guests that have been on, including Duncan today, he talked about it. Obviously, he's tried to get into. I've been able to get into journaling. It's one of those things. Nobody can write the script or the narrative for you. You have to find it for yourself, the consistency, the balance, everything going for that as well. Some people don't like journaling. Just something to try out to be able to get some of those thoughts out of your head, to do different things like that. And definitely staying on a consistency and a routine is such a huge thing. I thank you all again for being here. I really appreciate it. If you haven't done so already, please head on over to the social media on Instagram, on Facebook, and on Twitter. Find us under The Limitless Production and give us a like, give a follow, say hello, let us know what you think of the podcast. It will go a long way in the long run for me able to build the brand, build the podcast, and be able to bring on some amazing future guests as I've been able to do already. I really look forward to catching up with you all next week. We'll be back to two episodes next week again with Monday and then again on Thursday, and I'm really excited about that. We've got some great lineup of some great guests coming back on, and I'm really excited to be able to bring those to you. Have a great weekend. Find something to be able to release all the stress, anxiety. Reach out to your friends. Talk to someone if you need to. It's so important. I'm not a medical professional, but I will say that it is the most important thing to do is to talk to somebody. And if you are struggling, find help because it will go a long way to help you. As always, I look forward to continuing with you all down the road of limitless possibilities. Take care.